Well, I'm excited. These next couple weeks, I have the opportunity to share with you this evening. As when I plan to have the Pregnancy Care Center come and do their Transform program, they have somebody that comes and teaches it, and so that left me off, especially since I don't have an 8th through 12th grader to go through it with. But Ron is going through it with Garrett, and so when we were doing that and in our staff meetings, we talked about, and I mentioned, I was like, well, I'm not doing anything, so I'd like to be able to have an opportunity to spend some time with you guys in here this evening. And so I'm excited for these next couple weeks to be able to do that. I am currently in a I'm doing my grad classes right now, and the class I'm taking this current season, semester, part of the semester, is a class on evangelism. And when I was taking the class, or when I had it signed up, because it's one of the classes I need to take in order to graduate, I was thinking, okay, what about evangelism? And in a master's, and I was trying to think about it. And we, in our class, we're talking about how it's more not so of the individual, but of the church to be able to reach the lost, and how the church can better be equipped to do that. And one of the books that we had to read, the author talked a lot about what Jesus did in his ministry, and how he went about teaching and sharing with those, with his disciples, with those that he came in contact with. But one of the things the author kept on coming back to each and every time was the idea of what a leader Jesus was, because we think about Jesus, we think about him being the Son of God and how he had the power to do anything. I know Ron mentioned this morning how when we were talking about Jesus dying, how Jesus had the opportunity to call down angels. He had the opportunity to put a stop to when he was on the trial because he was God's Son and he could have done that. But knowing who he was and what his goal was and what his purpose was here on earth, he went through that. And part of that was, and one of the things I'm getting at is that Jesus, he never did, or he never asked the disciples, or he never asked those he was teaching to do something that he wasn't willing to do himself. I mean, we see how he did that, and we see that he the compassion that he had, and how he shared with them. And this morning, when I was with our elementary students, the story we talked about this morning, as we introduced this idea of service this month with our elementary students, we talked about the story in Mark chapter 10 when Jesus is walking with his disciples and they're walking on their way to Jerusalem, and he kind of stops them and drops a bombshell on them and says, hey, look, I am in this is going to come up, and I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be buried. But not only that, but 3 days later, I'm going to raise from the dead, and I'm going to conquer death. And he drops this bombshell on him, and no sooner after he does that, two of his disciples, two of the ones that was closest with him, James and John, they immediately turn around and ask him a question. Hey, Jesus, when we get to heaven, can we sit at your right side, and can we sit at your left side? And I mean, at a point where Jesus could have been like, kind of smacked him on the back of the head and said, look what I just told you, and now you're worried about yourself. And we talked about the compassion that Jesus had and how he calmly explained to them it's more about others and how you treat other people. And Jesus himself did that. And I mean, ultimately, he did that when he died on the cross. But the example I always come back to when we talk about how Jesus never asked his disciples to do anything that he wouldn't do himself is the night that he washed the disciples' feet. And we kind of think about that today, but back then in their culture, that was a huge deal to do that, because usually that was something a servant did when you came in the house, but Jesus did that himself. And as we talk about this, and as we talk about how Jesus never asked his disciples to do anything that he wouldn't do himself, and about how the church can better be equipped to share the message of God. I got thinking about this, and I saw this in a lesson once. It was titled, The Most Important Lesson I Could Ever Teach. And so then I was intrigued. I was like, ooh, I wonder what this is about. And so, and that's what kind of what I want to deal with tonight and next week as well, as we talk about this. And as we because this lesson, I feel no matter what age we are at, whether we've been serving God for 50 plus years in our life and following Him faithfully, or whether we've just started a relationship with Him, I believe this is something that can obtain and inspire all of us to be where we need to be in our relationship with Jesus. And so in some ways, I believe that this is the most important lesson I ever learned. And it's not just I've learned it. I feel like I'm continuing to learn this each and every day. And I feel like this is probably something that nobody really masters in their life. But it's more like a craft. You work at it to get better. And we all have different maybe crafts or hobbies that we like to do. I like to play golf. I don't play nearly as much golf as I would like. And when I go out and play, it shows that I don't play as much as I would like. But when I think about some of those, I've been to some professional tournaments and watching those guys just walk up and hit, and it's like, how? I mean, they make it look so easy, and then I'm out there and I get frustrated and aggravated, and it's a craft. And I know when I play a lot, or I get to practice a lot, and I score a lot better than if I would go a couple months without playing, and then I go out and play, and it's like I don't know which direction my ball's going to go. And so, but I believe in our walk with Christ, this is the same thing when we talk about being in His Word and studying His Word and knowing what it says and the importance of that. And it's and as we take a look tonight, it's the lesson that in this passage we'll see Peter is saying himself. He says, and we're going to be in 1 Peter, he mentions he's going to die soon, but before he says that, he says you have to get this. It kind of goes back to with what Jesus said to his disciples at that time when he says, hey, this is what's going to happen, and I just want you to be aware and be prepared. And then James and John ask that question, hey, I know you just said that, Jesus, but we want to know where are we going to sit when we get to heaven? But so in some ways, it's the thing that that Peter felt like I have to impart to my readers. I have to impart this followers before I die, before I'm no longer here and able to share with you. And what this lesson is about studying the Bible and studying God's word for ourselves, and not just as something to kind of check off as we do maybe on a daily thing, to be able to say, okay, you know what, I've spent some time with God, but to really kind of have some alone time with God. And as I continue to figure out how to read the Bible, which sometimes it can seem daunting and some other times it can seem not daunting, because especially nowadays, there's a lot of different things that we can use to help us. I know on my phone and on my iPad, I have the Bible app. And so I can always, wherever I'm at, whether I have my hard copy of the Bible or I have it digital, I have it at my fingertips. And along with that, inside of that, there's different commentaries and articles you can look at. One of the things I enjoy doing is I enjoy listening to other sermons from ministers around the country or friends that I went to school with who are preaching, because now a lot of times they put sermons on podcasts online, and to be able to listen and to hear what it's about. I'm really excited. Just the other day, well, she's not in here because I know she's up doing the Transform with Catherine, but Susie Richardson sent me a sermon that was from a church down in Nashville where her son Isaac is attending now that he's down there in Vanderbilt. And it was about Peter and Judas. And it was something that she had never heard of before, but it was really interesting, and she sent me the link. I haven't got to listen to it yet, but it's kind of on my list of things to do this week. But I mention all that because it's so easy for us to be able to hear what somebody else says or to read what somebody else says about the Bible and kind of, okay, take that. And those things are good. But at the same time, I think it's important for us to be able to look at the Bible and say, you know what, this is what it says, and to really read it for ourselves. And once we learn to kind of study the Bible and really dive in and dig in, then we can be like, man, this is really what God is trying to say. And so And so we're not spending the rest of our lives dependent on what a minister says or what a Sunday school teacher says or what an article we read in a Christian Standard says, but to be able to really look at it and be like, wow, this is what this story is about, or to kind of to be able to study it and to say, you know what, I've heard this said before in church, but I never really realized it until I read it for myself. In fact, it kind of amazes me how people can pull off following God in our culture in a world without spending time with Him alone. And maybe you kind of fall into this trap where you get so busy doing other things and the first thing to go in everybody's life is with God, whether it's going to church, whether it's spending time with Him daily, but those things need to go. And so maybe we become a little bit dependent on what somebody else thinks about the Bible, but there's something so different when you're able to study it yourself. I know for me, personally, one of the things I enjoy doing is I'm a morning person. Once my alarm goes off, I hop out of bed and I'm kind of ready to go. And that's a lot different from Abby and Anderson. They kind of like to maybe take their time a little bit in the morning. I guess I could say that because Abby's not here. But no, she always admits that too, because she's always like, how do you just, I'm like, I don't know. I just hop up, whether if I get 6 hours of sleep or 8 hours of sleep or five, as soon as my alarm goes up, I'm ready to go. So recently, one of the things that I've been able to do is I set my alarm for a little bit earlier than when Andrew to get up and go to school. And so I set my alarm and I get up and I'm able to read my Bible and kind of spend some time with God. And one of the things I've been doing lately is I really enjoy writing out my prayers. I have a journal that I carry in my backpack that's my prayer journal. And one of the reasons I do that is because it kind of helps me stay focused as I do that. So I'm not kind of wandering and thinking about the rest of the day because I have to pay attention with what I'm writing. But at the same time, it gives me an opportunity maybe once I finish a journal to kind of go back and see, okay, what was I praying about during this season? Or what was on my heart during this season? Or what was going on during this season? And so as we do this, and I have a feeling for most of us in this room, you enjoy spending time with God. You enjoy reading that Bible. And maybe you have a certain part of a day in which you do that. And for me, like I said, I do it in the morning. And then after I do it, then I have to work on dragging Anderson out of bed to get him ready for school and all of that. But it seems like when I do that in the morning, it seems like the rest of my day is put together and to be able to do that. And what happens is when we spend time with God, it's an opportunity for us to be real and authentic. Because when you think about it, as human beings, we have that nature and that sinful side of us that it could maybe be easy for us to stretch the truth with somebody. All right, we could stretch the truth. Maybe we aren't feeling so great, but we put on a face like we're feeling great, or we don't want somebody to know something, so we're able to kind of mask that, and we can pretend to be who we're not, or we act like everything's okay when it's not. But when you're in that alone time with God, you're spending time with the one person who knows everything about you. You're spending time with somebody who knows your hearts and your intentions and your thought and what's going on inside of you. And for the most part, as humans, we get pretty good at communication. And whether that's talking to people, my communication with teenagers is sometimes when I talk to them face-to-face, they freeze up. But if I grab my phone and I text them, they'll text me all day long and do that. But the communication, we're really good at communicating in various different ways. And most of us are pretty good at communicating who we want other people to think we are. But there's that time when we're alone with God and we can't really kind of hide it, or we can't mask it. And there's that one person who right now knows. And even as I'm speaking right now, God knows what's on our hearts, whether we could be sitting there thinking, you know what, everything is fine, but maybe it's not. And God knows what's going on in our hearts and in our intentions and in our words and what it is that we're saying. as we do this, and we study the book for ourselves, and here we have God telling us, I've got to do something, or God is speaking to us. If you're doing a devotional, or maybe you're reading through you've been following the plan, the read through the Bible in a year plan, and you've been doing that, or maybe you have a certain book of the Bible that you're reading through, and whatever it is that you're doing, when you're reading those things, that's God speaking to you. And it may have been the 100th time you've read through that story, or you've seen that verse, or you know about the author, but God is still speaking to us. And sometimes I want to encourage you tonight that as you go through this week and as you read the Bible, to maybe think about it that way. Think about it as God speaking to you in this moment and in this time. And here's a God that not only knows your words, but he knows the intentions of your hearts. And here's what I find amazing about that is he knows when we are trying to sound good in our prayers. And maybe you've done that before. Maybe when you pray, you try to sound like you have everything all right with God, when deep down you don't, and God knows. And we try to mask and cover that up. And there are times where we try to sound good in our prayers, and we try to make it sound like we're really close to him and really close to God and want to be with him and love him, but he knows we're really not that close to him. But at the same time, even though he knows that and he sees that, he's still listening to our prayers. He's still hearing us, and he's still wanting that relationship with us. Maybe he's seen how all week long we long for other things in the world, and God just until Sunday morning or until Sunday night, or maybe Wednesday night as well, if you come on the Bible for the Bible studies on Wednesday nights. But yet we still say, oh God, I've just wanted to be with you, and thanks for this and thanks for that. And he's like, you say that, but you're not always with me all the time. And if I didn't, I know in my personal life, I don't know how you are, but if I didn't have my time with God, I could become so self-centered. I could become so arrogant and so in my own world because I wouldn't have that balance of God bringing me back in. And it's the time, when we're thinking, okay, well, here's what God says. And I can think of a time in my life when this lesson was needed more, because I see as I look around this world, not necessarily in this room, but in this world, and we see it when we turn on the TV, there are fewer and fewer people that really care about the Bible or really care about the truths that are in the Bible. And that's something that's important. Instead, everybody wants to look for different ideas and new thoughts, and they would rather listen to the opinions of other people or those people who are famous in today's world, rather instead of looking at a book, because they say, you know what, that book's been around for 1,000 years. That book is just old myths and old wise tales, they say, or they say it's and I've had this conversation with our students before, because I challenge them to question their faith and to have questions, and they ask stuff all the time, like how is this stuff still real? How is this stuff still relevant? Because they see how marriage is defined today, or they see how the roles in marriage are defined. And then they just went through a study on Colossians when Paul talked about the role of the husband and the wife, and that brought up a lot of interesting questions from kids who I was kind of taken back and surprised, but at the same time, I told them, I'm glad you're asking questions, because you're going to be able to learn and to understand, because people take a look at this and they see it as an old book. And these words that have been around for thousands of years, that have proven over and time again, that have changed the lives for over centuries, yet we try to run to other things. And so as we get into this tonight, and as we take a look, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start in verses 12 through 15, and this is what Peter says. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must leave this earthly life, must soon leave this earthly life, So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. Now, I don't know when we take a look at that, what jumps out at you in this passage, but one of the things when I was reading this and taking a look at it, I was looking at this and I was thinking, one of the things Peter said really caught my eye. And Peter says, I know that the putting off of my body will soon be as our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me. And when I looked, it was kind of strange that Peter knew that he was going, and as we see this, he was going to die soon. And I love the phrasing he says, putting off this body, because Peter knew it's not really death. He knew because of his time with Jesus. He knew because of what Jesus did that he's leaving this earthly place and he's leaving his earthly body, but he is gaining a heavenly body and he's going to be able to live forever. And he's just putting off. And Peter says, I know that it's going to be soon. And we read that and we're like, how did Peter know? It doesn't really say, and it doesn't say in Scripture, but it does say in something interesting in Scripture, but in John chapter 21, this was after the resurrection of Jesus, when Jesus had his encounter with Peter and told him to feed his sheep in John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says this to Peter. He says, truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So Jesus told Peter, he said, remember when you were young? And he said, when you were young, you kind of just did whatever you wanted to do before I came along and grabbed you and said, hey, why don't you become a fisher of men? Well, you got to do whatever you want to do. You wore what you wanted to wear. You went where you wanted to go. And he said, let me tell you what's going to happen as you get older. You're not going to be free. Someone's actually going to take you and lead you to where you don't want to go. It says that Jesus told him this to tell him the type of death that Peter himself was going to experience. And he said, someone else is going to stretch out your hands. This was more so of an explanation for Peter. Peter, you're going to be crucified. And a tradition tells us that Peter was crucified. In fact, tradition tells us that Peter, from what we understand, because he was going to be crucified, didn't feel worthy to die the same way that Jesus died. So he asked his executioners to crucify him upside down because he didn't feel it was worthy enough. Jesus told Peter, think about this. Think about the ramifications of this. Jesus told Peter, here's how you're going to die. And then right after he says that, he asked Peter to follow him. And this wasn't the first time Jesus asked Peter to follow him. He did it at the beginning of his ministry. And Peter followed him. And Peter was always one of those, I always refer to him as kind of maybe the troublemaker of the disciples, because he was always the one kind of stirring the pot. And I mean, we think about it when Jesus, when they were out on the boat, and Peter was the one who jumped out of the boat, all right? And Peter was the one who immediately came to Jesus' defense and knocked the Roman soldier's ear off with his sword. And Peter was always the one to kind of push the envelope when it came to the disciples. And yet Jesus again asked him to follow me. And all that Peter went through, he continued to do that. And it completely goes against what so many churches today tell us. Because Jesus said, Peter, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be hard. And you're going to lose your life because of this. And in not such a great way. And yet, so many times today, we see this kind of sugar-coated gospel that once you give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be great. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be wealthy. Because God has this great plan here on earth. But it certainly wasn't the plan for Peter. He says, Peter, it was better for you when you were young. You knew that you had freedom to go wherever you wanted to go. But he says, guess what? Following me, people are actually going to stretch out your hands. They're going to crucify you. And let me tell you how you're going to die. And I mean, we think about that. And if any of us were told that or in that situation, how would we respond? Would we be as gung-ho in our faith as we are today? Or would we be as excited in our faith as Peter was up until the day he lost his life? But understand the message that Jesus taught was, look, it's not going to be easy to follow me. In fact, Peter, here's how it's going to end for you. But let me tell you, I'm worth it. I'm worth it. Hold on till the end. And maybe sometimes you wonder that too. You wonder in your life, And you think, okay, is it really worth it? And Jesus is saying, it is. And so Jesus told Peter that you're going to die. And here in 2 Peter, he's explaining somehow God communicated to Peter that the time is going to be soon. And imagine what you would be like. And I don't know, maybe you've experienced this through a health scare or something. And you realize that you were only going to have a certain amount of time to live, or you knew how you were going to die and how that would affect your life. And Peter doesn't complain about it. And he doesn't say, why me? And as I was kind of going through this, I kind of thought back to my personal story and everything that these last 10 months with my father-in-law, even though he's doing great now. But in January, when he heard the news and when he spent times throwing up and being in the emergency room and spending time in the hospital, I never once heard him complain and say, why me? Why is this me? But now he's kind of got this attitude like, you know what? This clinical trial drug that I'm taking, maybe God's using me for this to show that there is a cure. And so many times, and people may want to question that and say, why didn't Peter say, why me? I want you to notice in this passage is what Peter wants to do with the last moments of his life. And as he's talking about this, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously it wasn't like the last moments, but when we think about the years and the time, we think about what Peter's doing now and how maybe he could see his life is almost over and how what he's wanting to do as we read 2 Peter chapter 1, he's wanting to share this message with other people. He's wanting to make sure that they get into the word and they understand what it's about. You see, Peter says, while I'm still alive, while I'm still here, he says, it's right for me to remind you of all the ways that you ought to live. He says, but God told me that I'm not going to be here forever. And so he continues in verse 15. He says, I'm going to make every effort so after my departure, you may be able to recall these things. Peter wants to leave an impression and say, you know what? After I'm gone, I want you to remember these teachings. Just like when Jesus did that, they still remember those teachings and how the apostles went out after the Holy Spirit came upon them when they were in the room and they went out and spoke on the day of Pentecost and how they were able to do that. And Peter says, I'm not going to be here to remind you how you're supposed to live. And this is what God said to do. He said, I want to set you up. I want to make sure that once I'm gone, you're still following God. And as we kind of talk about this and talk about being in the Word and spending time in the Word, maybe we can think about, okay, how can we do that? How can we, as individuals, make a lasting impression on our family? How can we, as individuals, make a lasting impression on our neighbors? And so that they could be able to recall these things and you'll know what God says and you'll be able to figure that out on your own. And it's one that really, for us as grandparents and parents, should be our goal that when we're gone, our kids know how to follow God on their own. I try to hit home with especially our high school kids, once, because I'm like, yes, I have 4 years with you, but once you go to college, I want you to be able to continue to have that faith. And I've been able to see that recently, and it's really encouraging, and it's nothing that I've done. It's what God has done, and it's what their parents have done at home as well, because when I think about it, I get maybe an average of 52 times with them a year. But their parents get so much more, and grandparents get so much more, and so the influence that those have. I heard Francis Chan, who's an author and minister, a guy that I really enjoy reading. He says that the goal of parenting is to train our kids to be independently dependent on God. But somehow we teach them to be independently dependent on God. That their relationship with God isn't all about us. And that's what, how can we do that? By the way we live, by the way we interact with God, by the way we interact with other people, that we release them and say, you know, you need to depend on God. And it's your faith. It's your relationship with him. And how are you going to do that when you're off at school? Or how are you going to do that when you're off starting your own family? And that's the same thing that Peter's saying here when we read 2 Peter. He was saying to this, to the church, he's saying to us as we read this tonight and look at it, he's saying to these followers who had been following him as an apostle, to the believers that he'd been working with in a church. He's saying, look, you're scattered everywhere. You're in all these different places, and I'm going to be gone soon, but I want to keep reminding you of this stuff until it's time to go, and I'm ready, and I'm not going to be here anymore. So I'm going to make every effort to make sure that you're okay, that you have enough. And this is one of the things that kind of concerns me, because I know some people, they feel like that's not really important, or that they have all the time, or they take for granted that we have the Bible and we have so many ways to access the Bible and what it says, or we become so dependent on a minister, or we become so dependent on what somebody else thinks of Scripture and what they think and what they say about it. And it's important to be able to do this. And Peter realized that he only had a short time at this moment. And what would you do with that time? We see here Peter is all centered about God and what God would do, because he saw it firsthand. I went back at the beginning to talk about how Jesus never did anything that he wouldn't ask his disciples to do. And they saw that in the midst of the hurt, and they saw that in the midst of when he knew what was coming, how he handled it. And I believe that that had an effect on Peter as he wrote this, that he remembered what Jesus was like in those final days, what he was like at the Last Supper, what he was like in those moments in the garden and when they came. And he remembers what Jesus was like, as Ron talked about today, when Jesus was on trial, and how he conducted himself and handled himself when he knew that he had done nothing wrong. And Peter remembers that, and he's living that out, because Peter thought, okay, if Jesus taught me this and I can do this, who else can learn from me? What else can they see? And we don't know how Peter knew that he had a short time. Maybe it was some sort of prophecy that was given to him, but we're not really kind of sure exactly. And I know, I look around the room here, and I'm pretty much the youngest one in the room, and I understand what the Bible says about to honor those who are older than you, and there are things that you've experienced in life that I'll never experience, and I can learn a lot from you. However, there's also truth in the Scripture that while I'm supposed to honor and respect those who are older, I've also been placed in a position to serve as a pastor, and as that, I'm called to challenge and to do so respectfully. And as we kind of take a look at this, that's how I want to be able to come across. And so to be able to encourage you to stay active in your faith, to stay active in studying, and to grow closer to God each and every day. And not worry about what tomorrow holds, but to be more like Peter and say, you know what? Instead of worrying about that, instead of worrying about what I see on the news or what I see on TV or what I see is happening around me, I want to be more concerned about how can I affect my family? How can I be a witness to those in my own family? How can I be a witness to my neighbors that I come in contact with? How can I be a witness to our server when we go out to eat, or to the person who does the checkout when I go buy groceries? Let me end by serving and giving and just trusting in him and making it all about God, because that's what Peter's doing. He's laying it out for us to do this. And as we do this, Peter, when I read his words, he's just saying, it's about that time. I'm about to shed this and to inherit what God has promised. And I'm going to stand before God. So what am I going to do? What I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that everybody else knows. And I'm going to make sure to work hard to make sure that those who are left behind after I'm gone, they know where they stand with God, and they know how to continue on sharing the gospel. And I pray that that's what you're pursuing in your life, to say, you know what, when I'm gone and I stand before God, I can say, you know what, I lived a legacy, and I was able to do this. And no matter what age we are in our life, we need to be able to do that, because we don't know when God's going to call us home. And we need to be able to pass on that legacy. And the reason Peter was able to do that was because of his experiences that he had following Jesus. and what it's going to be like when we come into the presence of God, because Peter kind of already had that experience. And we're going to hit on that next week. This is kind of a two-part lesson. We're going to hit on how Peter had that opportunity because of what he experienced following Jesus. But as Dwight comes up, and before we get into our invitation hymn, we just want to be able to offer that to maybe you can leave here encouraged and saying, you know what, I want to work on my relationship with Jesus. I want to work on my how I spend time with Him, because I want to encourage you, no matter what stage you are in your relationship with God, to never say that you've done enough, or that we can always strive and do more. We can work on our craft. We can work on understanding the Bible more, and we can learn other things, because as we see the example of Jesus, He constantly did that. And as we read here tonight, as we'll finish next week, the example that Peter led before us. But as Dwight comes up, will you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father God, I just thank you.